Well, it's good to be with you, and I trust we won't weary you. But I would like you to turn to the first book in the New Testament, but it's not Matthew. I'm talking according to time. And James is number one book. And he's such a wonderful man, and he only wrote 5 chapters, and we could read it in 15 minutes, but oh, to learn the lesson. Why? Because every time he spoke, he hit the nail right on the head, and sometimes he smashed the board. But he really had it. And when I was living in Jerusalem, I would always go along the way, and I'd look up at the statue. And you know how that happened? Well, he was blown from way up there. He landed down in the dust. He was dead. They threw him down. That's the way he ended up. The way he ended his days. And if you study some of our early leaders and apostles and see what happened to them before they got out of this world. And then you'd walk a little further from it, and when a pious Jew, that means one who's religious, and he'd be wearing his hat and all the rest of it, and he'd be calling the other, he would say, praise God for day. And then he would go a little further, and he would come to another statue, and here's Absalom. Cursed be his name. Cursed be his name. And he'd walk on. And you know, you get used to a lot of these things. And then I'd say, oh, Caleb! And somebody'd be calling Caleb. And then Elisheva, that's Elizabeth. And then David. And oh, my eyes. And anybody's name Ben? The first word I ever learned in Hebrew was like, watch this army going down. Oh, you mean. And he's small as left. And you mean is right. And Ben is right hand. Not of my right hand. And so the army would go by. And one day I was with David Ben-Gurion, the founder, and I got to know him and his wife, Paula, and then his son was chief of police. And I really got to know this great leader. And when we were going out of the country, he said, you know, Adoni, your son can stay in this country as long as he likes. Because he's a sovereign. He's born here. But he says, for you, ain't about never. You know why? He said, everything you stand for cuts right across what we stand for. We're Jews, and Jews will be till we die. But you are in Caleb, that means a dog. You are a Gentile. And he said, we couldn't bear to have you to be here all the time. So I couldn't get residence in the country. Now I'm getting residence in the States. I hope I live to be able to fulfill it. But anyways, it's a lot easier getting to heaven. Because he paid it all. All you have to do is believe. But if I don't see a belief that behaves, I just wonder if you really know the Lord. So whether you're little, like the kids last night that I talked to, or whether you're older, you won't make any mistake when it comes to this book. So I'm going to read from James, chapter 4, and where's my glasses? Oh, here they are. You only use them now and then. But here, let's look at James chapter 4, and we'll read at verse 13. Because he wrote 5 chapters, and the first one, we're all involved. Temptations, trials. And then he shows you how to get out of it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. He teaches us all that in the very first chapter. Then, how to get along with one another? You come from a different part of the world. I'm from a different part of the world. And then we get into an assembly. And when you live in a mission field, and you meet them from Australia and New Zealand and all the places, getting along with people. That's what you deal with in the second chapter. And then you tell me, because you're a preacher, Bob Bill, what's the third chapter? Yeah, the subject is in everybody's mouth. You know, this is an awful lot of trouble. He talks about the tongue. Oh my, what a subject. And who wants to ever take it up? And then in chapter 4, he deals with the businessman. And these fellows, wherever a Jew never goes to a country that's poor and like Bangladesh. He didn't go to those countries. He goes where the money is. Why? Why? Because that's the way he's made. And then they're endowed in such a way. But this is the Jew. And so here, you have the businessman. And then how does he end? Well, what's it all about? And we're supposed to be, like chapter 5, he brings out our character. What kind of Christian are you? And then he's 5 chapters. It's as simple as ABC. But the problem with us, most of us are DEF. And that's why we have to come to the scriptures. And God will teach us. And the greatest teacher in all the world isn't in a school or college. The greatest teacher in all the world is the Holy Spirit within a person. And he'll teach a thing you'll never learn. And I thought it would be wonderful to learn Hebrew and Greek and all that, and I did. But, I love this old book. And my favorite course, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's a book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Now, what does it stand for? The B-I-B-L-E. And I've got all kinds of pictures how the word Biblios comes from a little plant growing along the Nile River. And they used to do the writing on it. And then they'd label it up in the sun. And then they start making little figures. And that's the early leaves of the Bible. And how marvelous is this book, the way God has brought it to us and preserved it. And it doesn't matter what you do, you'll never destroy. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So as I read these words, here's a first century sermon, and it's a question. And the question is, what is your life? So let's read about it. And I'll try and get you out before midnight. Because in Africa, as they're quite interesting. We started in the morning. We got to be through by a certain time. And we hope to get home before dark. But lots of times you don't have to work because so many people in this country are cockeyed. But out there, it's a little different thing. Some are cockeyed, but cockeyed, I got to finish at a certain time. So what time did I start? Well, you see, here's the clock. And if we start, I want to get finished on time. Oh, boy, the brethren will get after you where I come from. So here's what he says. Chapter 4, verse 13. Come now! And that's taken right from the Old Testament. Come now. It's the same. Did you ever study Babylon? That's where you find it. Come now! Ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, continue there a year, buy, sell, get gain. That's a real Jew. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor. That's where you learn about life. Whose name was vapor? Anybody. And the word vapor comes from Abel. And he only lived a little while. So do we. We only live a little while if you think of God. Because we have to face eternity. Eternity is never ending. But my poor old life is sure fading away now. Because I can't live forever. And if I have enough birthdays, they'll kill me. And here I'm past 90. Why, the morning I had the celebration, and they said at the chapel, we're all coming together, our 6 or 7 chapels in Vancouver, British Columbia, and we're going to have a whale of a time. Why? Because they always ask me where I went to school. I always tell them I went to Fish Seminary. Do you know Fish Seminary? Well, Fish Seminary is a great seminary. And I had a whale of a time. But I did go to a seminary, but Fish Seminary followed Jonah. And, oh, what a life to study. And then, here's, what a book to study. Why? Because here we have a man's diary. I keep a diary, and I was writing this morning in it what happened yesterday. And all that, and I've been doing it for years. And I can go back in history, and I came along to this conference, and I brought their old bulletin. Quite interesting, all those years since I've been around here. But here he brings out a man's diary. And then he brings out, whereby you know not what shall be in the morrow, what is your life? A day-by-day description of your life. And then he ends up with the destiny of your life. What is your life? It's a vapor. It's the name Abel. Why? He lived such a little time on this earth. But think of his testimony. He being dead, what? Speaks! And that's way back there. And that's why it's so wonderful that how you live. Why, don't forget, you can live on. Grandpa's still with me. And they used to pray for me. Dad and Mother, they're gone, of course. And they pray. And they've gone a long time ago. But I often hear their voice in this way. You know what I told you. You know what I said. And you things you, and if I'd never become a Christian, I could never get away from what I was taught from Dad and Mother. And then to think, my forefather, the breadwinner, he's coming home from the bank and he worked, and it was Saturday at noon, and some man was totally drunk driving his car, and he failed to make the corner, went right up on the sidewalk, hit my father on the sidewalk, and dragged him 175 feet, and he was a hopeless mess by the time they picked him up. He was dead before he arrived in the hospital. And Mother and us, the family, we were all left. And I thought, what a hard thing it was. And we all had the family together. And the oldest boy had been to China as a missionary. And I was the youngest. And we all stood around the casket. And how do you do? What do you do? Could you worship? Well, Job did. He lost 7 in one day. At least over a period of days. But either the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Mary said, well, I guess it. And then Jeannie said, she gets it. And then Margaret. Oh. And then it came down to me. Well, I did what my older brother said. He said, let us praise the Lord. He gave, Father, God was good. He gave us a good father, a godly man. And he took him away. And that was why it was such a help to me. When my wife was stricken, and she was gone in a few hours, and boy, I couldn't take it in. It was devastating. But then I remembered, the Lord gave. The Lord has taken away. So even in that, you have to bow to it. And if your heart is breaking, and you're full of sorrow, you can say, well, don't understand it. But all things work together for good. And you still keep trusting. And I'd rather have Jesus than anything he could ever give me in a state like this. Why? Because once you've come to know the Lord, no demon from hell or no man on the face of the earth could ever drag out of you if you've gone the right way. Nothing could be, it couldn't be drawn out. Why? Because God has implanted in the life a seed and it's been growing and growing and growing. And one of these days it's going to burst, just like he said to that poor old clay made out of dust. And of course, Confucius said years ago, we all come from the same mold, but some of us are moldier than others. And it's quite true. And so here you have, what is your life? And the bottom line of James, what's your life about? So I want you to consider your diary. And I got one. And what does he say? Well, Jews are Jews. And they sure know how to live an ordinary life and a life that's frugal. And while the Arabs were all smoking their pipes, and I saw it every day, the Jews were out there in the field, plowing the field, and look what they built in just a little while. And that was where the early days, the country was only 3 years old. But oh, the work and the pioneers and what they accomplished in bringing a dead, decaying place into bursting with life and fruit everywhere. And that's why it's an amazing thing to visit the Holy Land and see what has taken place in such a short time. And to me, I have great respect for the Jew. And I just wonder how different the whole world. And some people take off their coat like a Jew and go to work. And regardless of what comes, why they go on. And so here's a story of the Jew. And there were certain things in chapter 4 you have to admit. And you have to admit, well, where you came from. Cleanse your hands, you're sinners. We are sinners. But here's a chapter that you have to learn to submit to what God teaches and what he approves and what he wants. And then you have come to the place you've got to make a commitment. So I take a verse for every year. And what is my verse for 2006? Quite easy. I ask the Lord to give me a verse. And I pray about it. And then before Christmas, from December the 1st straight to the almost the end, I'm in the Bible on the incarnation of Christ. That is the coming of Christ into the world to be the Savior of the world. Well, here's a chapter that teaches me these things. And so he has a godly jealousy. And a lot of Christians never even think of this, but it's here. And he says, why, with the godly jealousy, do you not think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us, that's verse 5, lusteth. That's a strong, yearning desire. What for? To envy. The Holy Spirit yearns that we might come to know Jesus and that we might be born again and then start living it and being a missionary. Isn't doing a lot of preaching and teaching. It's just being something. And when our Lord came into this world, why, even Peter never went to the schools of men like so many. And he says, he has called us to glory. What does that mean? Not to heaven. The word glory has to do with virtue and character and goodness and doing all the good you can while you can, as long as you can. And then he's called me to live that kind of life. Glory and virtue. What? And virtue. Be a man. And then who can find the virtue? You gotta search for her. And God will help you. Who can find a faithful man? You gotta search for them. And that's why we are called to live a certain way. And James, every time he took up his pen to write these few words, why, the language that he uses. And when you get to chapter 3 and talks about the tongue, such a little member, but look at the damage. And that's why there's only one that had a controlled tongue. His name was Jesus Christ. And if I haven't got the life of the Spirit, then need God help me. Because I'm just built like it. Why do you think he put the teeth in us? Stop that old thing from wagging down then. And so he says, what is your life? So this is the way they thought. I know what I'll do. I'm going to today or tomorrow. He thinks of just today. Then he goes on. So he chooses his time. We'll go into such a city. And we've got to go into a city like Miami. Lots of people, lots of money. We're going to New York. Lots of money, lots of people. You never find them out in the woods. They know where to go. And he's going in to get into the cities. And he takes over. So go to Pittsburgh. Go to New York. Go to Los Angeles. Go among the Hollywood folks. And see who's behind so much of this stuff. The Jew. And 7 most known persons in all the world are Jews. And Jesus Christ is one of them. Moses is another. But here he is, and he's talking about, he says, be patient, because the time is short. And yes, in mind, you're to continue there a year, and what are you to do? Buy and sell. Make a living. In other words, go to work, because that's one thing about a Jew, and I've been among so many, and have learned to love them. They're difficult people. Not easy to get along with. And that's why it's so true. How odd of God that he should choose a Jew. And then I think, how odd of God he chose me. When I get to the pearly gates, there in the front of whosoever will may come. Then I get inside. Oh, there it is. Chosen in Christ. before the foundation of the earth. Why, it's marvelous. That sums up God's sovereignty in your humanity and will. And instead of arguing over all these things, they're as simple as ABC, but as I said, so many of us are DEF. We don't come to the scriptures, and we don't start the way God started. We should start with Genesis. And what are the three most important chapters in all the Bible? Well, they're all important, but if you don't know Genesis 3, why? What is it? The earth was without form, and darkness was upon it, and it didn't seem to have a purpose. Now, how was I born? Same old way, without purpose. I was 9 whole months in darkness, and then I came forth. Mother gave me a good name. My second name is Samuel. And she must have done a lot of talking because it means heard of God or ask of God. And so the interesting thing was that at 18 at a camp for boys and girls, no girls, just boys. And I learned in InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. That's what God taught us through Abel, because he brought a blood sacrifice. Cain brought what he had done and what he had made, and so on so. And oh, the distance, way back there, I learned I must needs go home by the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home. I shall ne'er get sight on the gates of light is the way of the cross. And thank God for the Lord's Supper. Thank God for bringing before our hearts and minds that Jesus paid it all. All to him you owe. And if you've never bowed your knee and opened your life to the wooings and the drawings and the yearnings of God our Father through Jesus Christ his Son by the power of God the Holy Spirit, and you've never come to Christ, you've never begun to live. You only exist. But when you come to Christ, it's amazing because you open your life to him. And he says, if you come to me, I won't cast you out. And I came to Jesus. I didn't know anything about drugs. I didn't know anything about drink. But I came and I discovered something. Why, this is what it's all about. Life! Life! Eternal life. Who's the giver? Jesus alone is the giver. And as soon as my all, I said, I'm going to trust you, Lord. The Holy Spirit entered. I was born of God. Boy, what a day. I was banging my feet together and everything. I wanted to be a hockey player and do well, because we were in a good league and we were in the church league and we won the championship. But I wanted into the sport world. And then look what I've lived to see. One of our boys was killed. That's it, when somebody bashed him. And then when it comes to the baseball that I was interested in, it all became a money affair. And they sell them like prize horses away in the millions. And look what sports has come to. Now we're in the Olympics. And so I got to get a gold. And look how young people train. And look what they go through to get medal. And godliness is not easy, but physical is just for a little while. But when you live for God, it's for eternity. And each day can be a glorious day, can be a wonderful day. Why? Because your life is turned over to God. And the happiest day that I ever experienced here on the earth is not to be compared to what God's going to bring it into. Because I have not seen, hear, have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of a man what God hath prepared for them that love him. But God, and then it goes on to tell you, if you want to really live, come to Jesus and then turn your life over to him. And it's more important what God is doing in you than what God is doing through you. Everybody thinks, oh, I do this, I do that, and I go here and I go there. Oh, no. God's been in my life for all these years, and I still got a lot of the old man in me. And I still have all kinds of things that might go on my head or through my head and in my heart and life. But I want to live for Jesus. And as a teenager, I know because I heard the voice of Jesus say, come. And I came. And I've been learning how he says, learn of me, who is meek and lowly of heart. And I know what it is to rest because I put my trust in Christ, but I know what that other rest is a rest that comes from heaven. And so here he gives a little description of a man's life or biography, and then he brings out a man's life is very brief. You know how did this happen? My teacher come up to me one day in Jerusalem, and he says, I've been reading. He says, what do you need to know is our philosophy? I said, what is it? Well, he says, what's the word for baby? I said, Tina, that's a little sucker. That's all I know what to do. What's the word for young people? And that's the teenager. That comes from one who's choosing. The most important days of your life is from age 13 to 19, when you make all your choices. Oh, God, help you. Don't get to know the Lord. But you see, the little baby, and that's the way we come to God, and we're just like little babies or little children. We need his milk. We need his food. And then we grow and develop. And the word for teenager is a volcanic stage. Anything can happen. They blow their top. They kick. And boy, sometimes you get father and mother a lot of it. I know, because I got three girls and three boys. But the girls were easy alongside the boys. And even to this day. And then two of them wouldn't own me as a father. And that's hard on you. I had to go all through that. And now they call me father. But I'm adopted, as it were. But these are the way. And then sometimes in front, you're not my father. Boy, they let me have it. And now, through a lot of trials and troubles, they've learned that dad's not so bad after all. He's something there. Maybe some of them thought I was all wool and yard white, but boy, they didn't do it when they were teenagers. The teenagers, the volcanic said, then what about 20? You start getting drained. What about 30? You're so far from the end and so far from the beginning. That's when most people in middle life fail or big trials. And then 40. Where does 40 come from? They were fiery 40s. They why? Because you were 40 weeks in a 40 punch in the water bag. And then all of a sudden, the 40. Why? Like they say, like you're in the 40. Oh, yeah. But look what you get. 50, you start to flag. 60, you start to sink. 70, you start to sigh. Gosh, this is great. I thought it was a lot better than this. 80. Oh, boy, I got knee trouble. I got this trouble. Everything. All of us have got something. So, aching 80s. And now I'm 90. What in mischief is 90? So the professor says, what do you think? I don't know. He says, that's easy. The sod and God. Because he's not likely to live to be 100. Well, I've got 93. And I said to my professor, is that your philosophy? I said, that is true. Well, I said, I got my philosophy. One day, a great Jew came into this world. And he was like a great light that began to shine in this country called Israel. And one day he was having, kind of people were listening. And he said, you know why I've come? I have come that you might have life. What are you talking about? He said, well, that's your life. Oh, no. I have come that you might have life more abundant. So why are you dragging your feet and coming to help the God? Why can't you open your mouth and speak a word for Jesus? Why can't you go to the mission field like Bill and his dear little wife? Why don't you do something? There's something you can do, even if you're young. And my little sister, she's only 6, around the campfire, on her way to school, and her heart was aching because she couldn't be away a whole year to go to school because there's no other place. Oh, but they change school.
And look at the trip she had. It took them 6 days.
And while they were on their trip, a man, he's a lovely soul, as you describe him, white hair, black face, and he went over to her, Missy,
and we sit around the campfire before we go to sleep, and you get oil in your eye. And she couldn't answer it. And it was around the campfire, as a 6-year-old, she came to know Jesus.
And she never looked back. I happen to know because I married her. Guess what her name was? Grace. Then I had God's grace, so I got along pretty good. And see, the philosophy of the Jew is so different. It's to be in this world to make yourself something, to make money, and to be sure to look after your family, because they're the most clannish people in all the world. And you learn a lot of things when you live among them. And so, the philosophy of the Jew, the saddest thing you can do is go to a Jewish funeral. There's no hope. And it's awful. And here, from the Jew I got my Lord, from the Jew I got my Bible, and from the Jew, the whole world is blessed. Why? Because the greatest Jew that ever graced our planet was the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I've got him. And that's why what God wants to teach you, there's 18 pictures in the Bible. What is your life? It's like a vapor. Go back to Abel. It's like a tale that is told, sometimes full of sadness. But it's marvelous, the pictures. It's like grass. Now I live behind the church in a little building, and guess what goes on my grass? Nothing but cement, because I'm in the parking lot at the end of the church, and I have a little house there, or a white stuka place, and I'm as happy as a lark. And when a man tried to break in the other night, and he came and got behind me, and I thought he was going to attack me. He wanted money. He just got out of jail. He's a perfect ass. I let him in, because I would always do that in Africa. But he turned out to be a bad man, and he wanted to get what I got. He said, do you live in this house on yourself? I said, yeah. But I said, I have a wonderful companion who is always with me. He said, what is his name? I said, God. Well, you ought to see the look he gave me. He thought I'd come from Mars. And I got through that. And the police, I phoned. They got him. He'd been breaking into old people's homes and bashing them up and getting money, and thank God, he got nothing in my house. But he was picked up on the next one as he tried to enter, and they got on his trail from my house, and that was one of my first experiences, the first month I was in the country. We never had anything like that out in Africa, because the people that they stole it knew it was for food, because we had so little food, everything that you had, and we learned to live a certain way. And yet, one of the nicest things about having a wife, she was always content, and she got looked after the children, and sometimes God made the bread go a lot further than it should go. But life at best is brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheep. Be in time. What? You may live to be 60 or 70 or whatever it is. But if you don't know the Lord, you've got nothing. There's nothing. You brought nothing into this world. You're going out with nothing. And if you live for pleasure, what'll it do? If you live for time, it's going fast. And if you live for the things of this world, you'll never be satisfied. But when you come to know the Lord, and I haven't got any silver or gold, but what I have, I wanted to share. And why I went to Africa, I'd go again tomorrow if I had health and strength. But what I have, I share with you. I've got the best friend in all the world. I've got the best book to guide and help me all through life. And I found in Jesus J-E-S-U-S. Jesus exactly suits Samuel. And he does. Jesus exactly suits sinners. And Jesus is the one that can satisfy. He's the only one that can solve your problems. He's the only one that can untie the tangles of life. And he's the only one that can bring true meaning into your life. And he'll give you a seal because he'll take you and he'll cleanse you through his finished work on the cross. He'll seal you by his Spirit, and then he'll put into your hand a book that's a lamp to your person, and then like a light, and so you can even get to the book of the Revelation, and you see what's coming about. And the two men that live the closest to you were together. Study Daniel, and get the whole panorama of the Jews. Study John, and get the whole panorama of the universe, and the world in which we live. And, oh, the thing that God has given us. And if here on earth I've tasted and experienced the love of the Lord and the wonder and the marvel of his grace, and go to a meeting like I was at this morning and listen to a brother pray and then listen to somebody else that quoted it, and then think of the cross and then break the bread and drink the wine and remember, why don't we do it? Oh, I'll tell you. How can I forget after all that's done for me? And that's why as a teenager, I gave my life. And how could I have ever dreamed of being on a missionary? Well, my two sisters had died with TB. How could I have ever dreamed I'd go around the world? How could I have ever dreamed of being back in this place after all these years I've been absent? But here I am. And there's a purpose. In the little while that I got left, I'd like to see you in heaven. Are you going to heaven? Yeah, you should. I always could just yell, oh, hallelujah, amen. I don't know. But I can look into your eyes. Are you going to heaven? And, well, you should be able to, oh, yes, thank God. I'm on my way. I may not live very much like this, but I know it. But somebody might be here this morning. And they never trust you. Oh, my desire. What's your life? Well, I'll tell you. Either whole farce or it's false. Because if it comes to Christ, I'm just as weak as water spilled out of the ground. But I've got God. And he built into my heart something I can't explain. But he takes the things of this world like you and like me. And you work in and through the praise of his glory. The best friend in all the world to have is Jesus. The best book in all the world, guide and help, is the Bible. And the best home is not the sunshine table. The best place is heaven. Are you going? Are you going? And I ask you this morning, what is your life? Is it just that? Just your fortune? Or do you know Jesus? I commend him to you. Trust him. Get to know him. And then, he is as old as I am, and all your family is gone, and you're alone very much, and you walk with God, because very few walk with God. And you find out, oh boy, Jay Monroe, I'm on my way. And when I meet up with a Christian, or this one. Sometimes I do in the grocery store, sometimes I do here, and God's always given me surprise. But here in this life, I got the best. And what's coming is better than anything I've had down here. Are you going to go along with me? Are you coming? How we pray. Oh God, our Father, we hear a little child. And we think of this little group that we're among now. And how wonderful it is to know that my Father was part of heaven. How is he again? How wonderful to know Jesus, who has expressed the mind and heart of God.
who became incarnate, flesh, and was right here on the curve. And he walked here, and he taught here. And then one day, he went to a lonely grave, and he died, the just one, for us the unjust, to be like the minister to God. Oh, God, our Father, how wonderful. After all these years, I follow my heart, my head, and I worship you. But Lord, there's other enemies of the year this morning. They don't. They don't really know that they never come. Oh, Father in heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord, draw somebody to yourself. Speak to the hearts of thy people and get us all to realize that the best is ahead. And you're keeping the best wine to the end. And when we look out and see what's happening in the world, it won't be long. Yeah, there's coming things of thy work. Jesus. And so, our Father, we commit the issues of this service to thee, thy people, and the home we represent, and all these thousand nights, and receive our thanks for thy kindness, for thy goodness, and all the way the Lord has led. What have I to be, or to have this? For I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded you're able to eat. And the blessing of the Lord, the Maker, rich, and that of whose sorrow, we commend these who are gathered together to thy care, and remember each one, and remember any special need, and receive our thanks for all that we have. As we go through 2004, may we realize the best friend to have in all the world is Jesus. We've got the best book, and we're going to the best of all things. Thus we commit ourselves to thee and thank thee. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. God be with you. God bless you. And if I get to speak to anyone, I'll be here until I leave in the plane tomorrow morning. And so it's nice to be with you for the first time. God's feeding you on your way. Don't go too fast.